Naikatrate jayati shalini parapadmam. Knantya muhu karatalena patat patangam. Madhyam vishidadidi brihadstana bharabhitam. Shante vadrishti ramala shushika samuha. Na, not. Ekatra, in one place. Te, your. Jayati, stay. Shalini, O beautiful woman. Padapadmam, lotus feet. Ganatya, striking. Muhu, again and again. Karatalena, by the palm of the hand. Patat, bouncing. Patangam, the ball. Madhyam, waist. Vishidati, gets fatigued. Brihat, full grown. Stana, of your breasts. Bhara, by the weight. Bhitam, oppressed. Shanta iva, as if fatigued. Drishti, vision. Amala, clear. Su, beautiful. Shikha, your hair. Samuha, bunch. Translation. O beautiful woman, when you strike the bouncing ball against the ground with your hand again and again, your lotus feet do not stay in one place. Oppressed by the weight of your full-grown breasts, your waist becomes fatigued, and your clear vision grows dull, as it were. Pray, braid your comely hair. Purport. The demons observed beautiful gestures in the woman's every step. Here they praise her full-grown breasts, her scattered hair, and her movements in stepping forward and backward while playing with the ball. In every step they enjoy her womanly beauty, and they enjoy her beauty, and while they enjoy her beauty, their minds become agitated by sex desire. As moths at night surround a fire and are killed, so the demons become victims of the movements of the ball-like breasts of a beautiful woman. The scattered hair of a beautiful woman also attracts the heart of a lusty demon. So Brahma ji, he was then in creation, then his mood then seemed to be, taken by passion, because he is creating, so that element of passion is prominent. So this mood then manifests through the creation of these demons. And these demons then approached him for sensual enjoyment. A very disturbing situation for Lord Brahma. Approaching the Lord said, give up this mentality. Giving up this mentality, then it became the twilight. This twilight then appeared to the demons as a very attractive, beautiful woman. And so now these demons, being infatuated by this, are trying to somehow or another become impress her, please her, so that they will be able to have interactions with her. So Srila Prabhupada then is pointing out this is the demoniac mentality, and that the position is trying to enjoy, is trying to be pleased or overwhelmed by material beauty. Material beauty has its place, but it's not something that one is enjoying separately from the Lord. Krishna, one of his opulences is beauty. So because of this, then beauty is naturally everywhere. Anything that's working according to God's laws, there's a certain beauty in it. It's either in the aesthetics, in its working, there's some aspect that is beautiful. So this beauty itself then is something that's naturally attractive to the living entities. But then the godly, they are not interested in this beauty separate from the Lord. Well, the demons are. So then they see the twilight in this light. That's why it's said that the strict practitioner, the Vedic culture, does not take too much interest in the sunset. You know, when it's nice and it's red and very beautiful and attractive. Because that is the time of awakening of passion. Of course, that's in the material world, so that doesn't apply when one's in the dham, because this is spiritual sunset. But outside the dham, then that twilight, that sunset, that increases or develops the passion, as we see in the demons. And this beauty then for them takes the form of a woman. So here then we see the demons are appreciating the movements. Movement's very important. If the girl is static, doesn't move, then it doesn't leave much to enjoy. Because in the movement here we see that, she is moving in such a way as if she has nothing to do with all these demons there, right? She's surrounded by lusty men, and she acts as if she's alone. She's just playing with her ball. And so the demons are impressed by this, right? You know, she's cool, right? She's, you know, unattached. She's all these nice qualities that the modern projects as something important, which are true. They really actually are important, but here we see is it's not real. It's used as a method. It's a technique. You're very attached, but you present yourself as not being, right? Because then it's cool. Right? If it's just like it's said that when, it's a symptom of the mode of ignorance, right? There's some attachment there, there's some need that's there. Because otherwise, if there's none, one can look very directly because there's nothing to gain. But one's not. One is hiding one's desire by looking this way, looking that way. So it looks, very detached. But that's the method. Because if you're actually detached, you can look at something. It doesn't matter. Like little kids, they have nothing to gain. They can come up, look at you. There's nothing, no problem. Right? But adults have the problem. They can't look back. They think that's weird because there's something there. What's gaining? What's he looking at? What does he want? Right? But for the kid, they don't want anything. So we see here is that these are techniques that are used. This constant moving, constant doing something. So that's what's used. We see in the tradition, lady comes in very carefully into the temple. She stands there. She takes darshan. She moves to the next place, takes darshan. She stands in one place. Unless there's a kirtan, then she'll dance very nicely, appropriate for the situation as long as no one's watching. Someone's watching. What are you looking at? They want to look at something. Deities are over that side. Right? But when they come in, flouncy, bouncy, and all that, that is for attracting attention. That's its purpose. Right? So that's why in the public forum, then we see these techniques aren't used. Right? But it's being said nowadays, of course, one can do anything. We're not fanatic and all that. Yes, we're not fanatic. All it is just a reality. It doesn't matter whether you're modern or Vedic. This is how it works. Oh, he dropped the rock out the window and it went down, you know. Oh, but we don't care about that. We're not fanatic, you know. We don't follow all these rules. Gravity doesn't matter anymore. Hey, that's archaic, right? You know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, was following that when he got shot, right? You notice he went to the floor like that? We don't bother with that anymore. Right? So these are direct rules. We may not like to hear them, especially, you know, if it plays upon sentiments coming from our previous samskaras that may have something to do with this pastime right here. But it's reality, and unfortunately reality doesn't care even for people who ignore reality by saying, I'm only being real. Right? I'm only being practical. I'm only being natural. But natural here, we see what's being described as called demoniac natural. There's also demigod or godly natural, which means one doesn't worry about these things. Right? This is not the focus. This is not the intention. So that kind of natural is also very real, very important. So these demons we see are speaking very nicely. They have something that they want to achieve. And wanting to achieve something, they're nice to the girl. Then we see the next element is the demigods. When they also, when they deal with their women, even though they may not be wanting something from them, then they're also nice. So this is an interesting perspective that is developed, or cultural phenomena that's developed, that the demons, if they want something from a woman, they deal nicely. The demigods, they don't want anything from a woman, but due to etiquette, they deal nicely. So where does the culture come from where you don't deal nicely? Right? So-called renunciation. But if it's godly, they deal nicely. Narad Muni deals really nicely with all the ladies. Right? He comes, he says things to Draupadi, he says things to the others. Right? It's very common. We see these great saintly persons, great personalities. They deal very well with their women. And the demons here, as we see, they definitely want something. They're dealing really nice. They're really submissive here. Oh, we're so fortunate and, you know, to see you and, you know, that you're so kind to us and that you've come here in our midst. And they're dealing very nice, very sweet. They're being very indirect here. They're saying, oh, pray, braid your comely hair. Why? Because they like seeing the loose hair of women. Right? So, but they're saying you braid because they're focusing on that. They're bringing it out. They're talking about the bouncing of the ball. Which, bouncing of the ball is there, but the interest is not the ball. The interest is the breast. The bouncing breast. So they're using all this very nice, sweet, poetic, indirect discussions. And the demon and the devotees, then they're using very nice conversation, though they don't have to get into the poetics of the conjugal relationship. So where does this not dealing nicely with devotees come from? Right? Where does it come from? It's made up. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's the demoniac mentality that there is a purpose to not be attached, so they reverse it. And like the impersonalist, then if dealing nicely is material, then spiritual means dealing nastily. Right? Just like if form is maya, then spiritual means no form. Is that understood? It's actually coming from the impersonal philosophy. So therefore, we can see his culture is not something very important or useful. Is it? It's never worked. It's not working today. So then the idea here is that we see is that we can make this distinction. This mentality is very important. By the proper mentality, then one is freed from this kind of situation. Brahma got himself into this situation by an impure mental body. So Krishna says, drop that. The mental body is proper, then you're in good situation. The forms, the qualities, the activities, then are of higher quality. We also see here that by the demons, they are attracted by the evening. When the twilight comes, they're no more interested in work. So they're into sense gratification. So then as long as you're not out on the street, then the devotees are happy, right? The demons will stop bothering you during that time. Right, during the day, then you have to put up with them, you have to go to work with them, you have to go to your power lunches with them, you have to do whatever it is that you have to do with them. But they're more peaceful in the day, so it works better, because the daytime is the time of the demigods. Right, so work, occupation goes on, you have to work with them, they'll bother you at that time, but it's minimal. Then when night comes, that's the time of the demons, then the devotees go into their back to their place, to sadhana, and the demons leave them alone. Who's interested in devotees, right? You know, there's not much happening there. So it's actually a protection. The Lord has protected Brahma by saying, leave this body. Because otherwise, if he doesn't, then he's in the midst of the demons. Right? Because that's their time, that's their place. So Krishna here, we can see also, is very nicely protecting the devotees, because then the nighttime, when we think of what's nighttime in Krishna consciousness, it's for sadhana, right? Ending the day, doing something, you know, chanting, finishing up those rounds you didn't finish in the day because you're busy working, you know, meeting with friends and family, something pleasant, kirtans, lecture, you know, some discussions of philosophy, something before taking rest, prasad, right? All important elements. And so, like that, then they're protected. While the demons, now we get down to the business of sense gratification. This is the real time for us now. Now we can really get involved. So, the devotee then is very careful to try to regulate this, to create a bridge between this mentality and the mentality of transcendence, where there's no need. Sense gratification is not a priority, is not a drive. And so to do that, then, you know, one understands that these situations are not very important. Maybe we are used to them, maybe we're very habituated, but it's not actually that important. Because whatever one can gain here is very temporary. So that temporariness is not actually very satisfying the soul. The soul wants something a lot more substantial, like eternity. So that position is offered once one gives it up sense gratification here. Otherwise, then one's interested in the dead matter. Right? The demons are thinking it's the movements of the body and the movements of the body of the girl that are important, that are attractive. But actually, it's the Lord's potency. The Lord's potency is what makes it attractive. So they're unable to appreciate the Lord and His creation. Therefore, it's called demoniac. Right? The demigods, you understand, is beauty is there. Women are beautiful. They're attractive. That's not a problem. Because it's Krishna's beauty. It belongs to Him. So ladies can look nice. That's fine. But they're not mine. They belong to Krishna. Just like money. Money is there. It's not a problem, right? If we have a problem that women can't look good, then we should also have a problem not having any money. Right? Not having any position. Right? Not having any renunciation. Not having knowledge. Right? Not having any fame. Right? So why is it only have a problem on this side? Right? Have as much money, fight for power and position, women should look like plain Jane. You know, like this, that doesn't really work, right? Does that make sense? Middle Ages, that was popular. Like that. I think the Puritans, maybe the Shakars, you know, quite a few groups like this, they follow these kind of things. No music, no dance, no nothing. Because they're worried that it will incite sense gratification. But for the devotee, the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. So there's no problem. There's no problem here. So therefore, all the aspects of Krishna's creation can go on, but from the platform of the demigods. So the problem is not that women look nice, but women don't act like this girl's acting. Because if they act like this girl's acting, the tendency is the boys will act like these demons are acting. Right? And then everyone will say it's natural and that they have to grow up together. And, oh, they'll be weird if they don't grow up together. Funny, you know, the first generation, they grew up like that and they're weird as anything. So how is it now that, you know, that others, you know, won't be weird also? Very unique mentality. Very, very unique. So, yeah. So basically, then, what's being brought out is the creation here. The creation is being described so that we may understand how we get entangled in the material energy, right? Because the creation is how the universe unfolds. The living entity is in the Vasudeva Sattva. He's in the Mahat. He has desire to control and enjoy the material nature, but the facility is not there. It's not manifest. It's generic. The universe is manifest. Brahma does this creation step by step. Means you want to know why you're in the position that you're in right now. This is it right here. Unfortunately, these are the parts generally we love to skip. Because it's creation, right? It's all those analogies and all that kind of stuff, and then spiritual something else. But this is how you're in the position you're at. Why is it when the girl goes flouncing by, you're looking? This is it. These are the verses. You want to change that, then you follow these verses. That's why they're here. Otherwise, why do the Paramahamsas need to hear about this girl bouncing a ball around? Right? There's no need. But this book is for those who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead. No ifs, no ands, and no buts. Right? And especially not this girl's. Right? So the idea is that everything here is very, very important. We have to see what's behind it. It's not just a story. It's not an analogy. It's not an all these different things that many people try to write off the Bhagavatam as not important. These are here so you know why you are in the situation that you're in right now and how to reverse it. Right? So we see the demoniac mentality, then we see what is the divine mentality. Right? How to change that, how to cultivate that. Right? How to deal with this. So then this is being described. Because we're having Maitreya and Vidura, what do they need to talk about this stuff for? Right? But they're talking how the creation happens, how the living entity becomes entangled, and then how the Lord is saving the living entities. That's nice. The living entities got here, and Krishna gives them a way out. He helps them. That's very nice. The devotees are very attracted by that. They see how much the Lord cares. Right? So these things then are very much appreciated. So therefore, these great sages are discussing this topic. Any questions on this? It's always one of those topics that everyone is like... So, this is where you learn, right? This is ground zero. Many people ask, where do we get all this stuff we talk about? It's right here. Right? Why do we say the girls should have tied hair? This is why. Because when it's loose, the demons get enthusiastic. The demoniac mentality to enjoy gets manifest. Therefore, women always tie their hair. Even the apsaras, they tie their hair. They never leave it loose. Why leave it loose for unqualified people to get lusty? Right? Like that. How they move, how they hold themselves, how they carry themselves. Right? That projection of shyness. But if you're so shy, why is she right in the middle of all the boys? Right? You know, the girl's standing on the corner looking cool and all the guys are goggling at her. And then when they come over, she says, beat it, you know. Well, why is she there? This is what's being described. She's shy. Why wouldn't she be somewhere else? Right? She's waiting for a bus. Okay, that's another thing. Right? But everyone knows she's not waiting for a bus. Right? A ride, maybe, but not a bus. Right? So this is the whole thing. It's right here in the Bhagavatam. Right here. And then devotees are, oh, nothing practical. Bhagavatam is just theological. Like that. This is what's going on right now. Right in your own backyard. Your own neighborhood. Right here. So this is the whole idea. Bhagavatam is giving everything. The acharyas, then they're giving everything. It's just one has to know how to look. One has to. It's just like gold. You have to know where to look. You have to know how to get the gold. Right? People became very rich by knowing where to look for gold. Even though they pick up dust. You put enough gold dust together, you know, it's pretty good. 1 gram, what's it? 1,400 rupees right now. Right? So that's a gram. Right? So it doesn't take a whole lot. So you catch different things here and there, how they deal, what makes the ignorance. Right? The demons here, because of their attraction to the girl, therefore they're dealing nicely. The demigods, because of their sense of duty in following Shastra, that you're supposed to deal nicely with the women, that's how they're dealing with them. So the end result is, it looks the same. Right? So that's the point. If you follow the Shastras, or you follow the modern think, the form of it actually would look the same. Right? For those who are successful. But what's the difference? The one, its motive is Guru Sadhu and Shastra, authority. And the other is your own personal gain. Does that make sense? Very important to be able to see this difference. Otherwise, why are they always being shown? Why do they go, the demigods this, the demons that? The demigods this, the demons that? Right? Happiness, distress. Why are they showing? So that you know how to deal. Why this is going on? Why did the Pandavas lose everything? So you know what to do when you lose everything. Right? That's why it's there. It's not just fun stories, analogies, so academics can sit around and have a good time taking pot shots at the Bhagavatam. That's not why they're there. They're there for you to learn something. Like that. Okay. Well, time's up now. So, we'll end class now and continue with questions for anyone who would like after a few minutes. So, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktabrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo.